A pyramidal prism flashed from the cover. The Q logo. I'd seen it on the Q app, on bus shelters, on billboards and banner ads, on commercials between binged-watched episodes. But I had never seen it on an object like this. This was a real watch, an analog. I wondered where he'd gotten it. It seemed like something only an insider would have, someone important at Q. Inside my chest, I felt a long barred door opening up, a door I hoped to walk through. At a press of his thumb, the watch cover sprang open. A bit of fluff drifted onto the tabletop, a bit of bluish down that looked at first like a fingerprint, but turned out to be a feather. He looked at the watch. Those must take a long time. I swallowed hard. That was the reason people had stopped writing letters in the first place. They took too much time. My eyes fell to my portfolio, which he had discarded. This, I thought, is the moment he leaves me. I slid my book back across the table, prepared to fold my desires and aspirations back into the pale envelope of myself. He pressed the watch cover into place and slipped the watch into its pocket. Then, without warning, he closed his eyes, blank spots, suddenly on his darkly masked face, reminding me how quickly a person could feel alone. "Please listen," he whispered, pleading. A live wire jammed straight into my brain. I was so shaken it took me a second to realize he was dictating a letter. The light winking through my bottled inks could not have been more beautiful to me than it appeared in that moment. I grabbed my quill and began to write. "I know we've hardly met, but would you believe me if I said that I know we were meant to help each other right now? Being with you is the most important fact of my life." Maybe it wasn't the most original thing to say, but the language of love is repeated because it moves us. As I watched the ink ribbon from nib to paper, I thought about how many times after Connie, I had lain in bed with a perfectly sweet, attentive lover and sighed into the dark for a different kind of desire. The way my hand knew its way across the surface of the page, this dark effluvium, this was the form in which my body most intimately knew love. It was claustrophobic inside the tiny back room of Crimson Horticultural Rarities, warm. The man across the table was sweating profusely now, salting the air with urgency. My fingers flew across the page. I was trying to listen as I imagined a real scribe would, as a conduit, nothing more. After Connie, I had often felt that way, staring at the faces of people I knew like a piece of glass through which light passed. But the heat off his arms and the passion in his voice made the hair at the back of my neck rise up. Who wouldn't want to be spoken to in a voice like that? I didn't imagine he was speaking to me. I imagined his voice was mine. Every so often, he tapped the page where he wanted me to leave space for a decorative capital. Then he raced on. "Everything depends on you," he said. He swiped his hand across dry lips, and then the man in the tweed vest leaned over the paper until his dark curls brushed my forehead. "I need you to make Tall forget me." Forget me?